Preach tonight on this subject, the case for preaching. The case for preaching. David was doing it over there in Psalm 40. And of course, Paul was, even though in the fact that it was the written word of God, I really believe he was preaching it, maybe to himself as he was writing it down, and certainly in his heart. But the case for preaching, and I included that last verse, verse number 3 there, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, they will not endure sound preaching, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I included that because there's been a devaluation of preaching in our society, in our country, and I'd like to make a case back for genuine preaching. And I'm not saying that's the problem here in this church. I'm talking about in our society as a whole. Wherever you go, there's been a devaluation of preaching. And we'll mention that term throughout the message. But just as an aside, some may not know here tonight that growing up, I used to go to church every Sunday. Sunday after Sunday. And not one time did I hear the Word of God preached. It may sound some kind of strange to some of you that maybe have grown up in a Bible-preaching church, but I never missed, unless I was sick, because it was a mortal sin if you missed church. I went Sunday every Sunday. I never heard any preaching. What I heard was homilies. That's not hominy. I think hominy would do you more good than the homilies that I listened to, but that's what they called it. And that's why I never heard the gospel at all until age 24. But here's, I've mentioned this in a message before. Maybe some of you were not here at that time, but I shared with you this, that in that same church, growing up, where I never one time heard the gospel preached, 50 years later, I preached the gospel in that church. And I imagine there were some people out there that heard preaching for the first time. There were some Catholic priests, a lot of people from my family. But right there in that same building, I preached the gospel. So even though I never heard it there, isn't God good? I mean, it's amazing the things that he does. But there's been a devaluation in preaching. We've all heard about these so-called emerging churches, the emerging church movement, whose leaders have devalued the role of preaching. That's obvious in their worship service, and they've replaced it with what they call the narrative talk. Maybe that's the modernistic version of the homily, but it was the talk. But in countless churches across the land, folks, preaching has waned. And there has been an increase in other things in the service to take its place. And that's really sad. And some have argued that the laity, the people, should have a greater part in the service, should not just be the preacher preaching. So they've come up in some circles with what they've called responsive reading. Now, I think laity or people involvement, congregational involvement, has its place. Like, I like the way pastor does it in Sunday school. There is congregational participation. But we need to understand something. We are not all the overseers of this church, and God is not going to lay upon each of our hearts what needs to be said in the preaching service. So God will lay upon the heart of the overseer, because he oversees the whole church, congregation. And we've probably all seen experiences where, well, it's a good thing pastor saw it. I didn't see that. He saw that. Why? Because The Lord's going to show it to the overseer where he may not show it to a congregant. So this response of reading, growing, and taking more and more of the place of preaching, in my view, is a devaluation of preaching. There's other things that in themselves may be good. Less and less preaching and more singing, I don't think is necessarily is a good idea. Or more special music, where they have three and four, sometimes even more than that, special music. And so the preacher can only preach 30 minutes because we have this big, huge music program. I think that's a mistake. And singing and chanting. And then we all know about this. There's been an increase in the element of entertainment in public worship. The use of films that maybe in themselves are fine, like for Heritage Night, but they're encroaching into the church service, things like films and more singing. Years back, there was a piece done in Peter Jennings' reporting called In the Name of God, where it showed that churches were using modern marketing techniques to attract worshipers, things like full stage productions, feel-good religion, holy laughter. Holy laughter. Give me a break. Holy laughter. That is bizarre. And so preaching becomes more and more devalued and replaced with other methods and ministries that are quote-unquote more effective and more in tune with the times. And you know what the result is? No clear word from the Lord in those circles. And that's bad. It's no wonder our country is in the shape that it's in. Now, one of the problems that I've noticed over the years lies with the image that's portrayed to society about the preacher himself. Used to be, time was, when the preacher was the intellectual and spiritual leader in the community. Not anymore. Not after years and years of Little House on the Prairie, where that bumpkin preacher used to irritate me no end. Sit up there and say a whole bunch of nothings and did a bunch of nothings. And that was the portrait that was being painted to the society about what a preacher is. And then in other programming, that and even worse. So the image of the preacher himself has been degraded. But I'd like to submit to you tonight the case for genuine preaching. Genuine preaching, not all this other stuff that we've just touched on tonight. But I'm talking about the preaching as Al Lacey used to say, heaven high and hell deep and worldwide and gun barrel straight. That's the kind of preaching I'm talking about. So you mentioned gun barrels. I believe in the Second Amendment. But I believe in all 10 of the First Amendments. So just thought I'd throw that in there. Okay, 3 points I have to the message tonight. The case for preaching. Number one, let's go back to Psalm 40 and look at what David said in verse number 10. He said, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. When David spoke specifically here, he didn't talk about himself. You know, he could have been tempted to talk about himself. I mean, after all, he was the greatest king in Israel's history. The people loved him. And remember, he slew Goliath and garnered great fame when he was still a youth. He could have gotten up there and started talking about himself. But David knew about what I preached on Sunday, about it's not all about him. It's all about God. And that was David, except for that one incident there in 2 Samuel 11. It was all about God in his life. And it comes out in that verse there. He didn't want to preach himself. He wanted to glorify God. He wanted to talk about his faithfulness, his salvation, his loving kindness, his truth to the great congregation. All those things here and other places that caused God's name to be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. All of those attributes of God, David used to glorify him. And that's why his name was called all those things, because of all those wonderful attributes. And just to the degree that preaching is being devalued, these attributes of God are not being manifested, and therefore God's not being glorified in a lot of preaching. Other things are being talked about. And the emphasis has definitely shifted in modern society to man over God. It's all about man now. You listen to some of these clown preachers, and I call them clowns because that's just what they are. And do you see them, these ones that are on television, do you see them magnifying God like we just read about in our text in Psalm 40, verse 10? I don't. What you hear from them is God has a wonderful plan for your lives. And you know what? He does have a wonderful plan in our lives. But if we don't realize that he is the one that must be magnified, we'll never realize that plan in our lives. But it's always God. It's always man. God's a wonderful plan for you. We've all heard about the television preacher's wife that came out with this, in case you didn't hear about it. Excuse me a second. It took wings. First time that's ever happened, I think. Listen to this. Is this God-centered or man-centered? I just want to encourage every one of us to realize when we obey God, we're not doing it for God. I mean, that's one way to look at it. Yeah, the Bible way to look at it. We're doing it for ourselves, because God takes pleasure when we're happy. That's the thing that gives him the greatest joy. When we're happy, that's what gives God the greatest joy. Where's that in the Bible? So I want you to know this morning, just do good for your own self. This is a pastor's wife standing on the stage with thousands of people. It was on YouTube. I watched it. I saw it. I couldn't believe it. Do good because God wants you to be happy. When you come to church, when you worship him, you're not doing it for God, really. You're doing it for yourself, because that's what makes God happy. Amen. See where the emphasis is there? Now, here's where all that started. It started with these little booklets back in the 60s put out by Campus Crusade for Christ. It's where all that started. All this modern feel-good movement, like this one right here. The cover says, "Have you made the wonderful discovery of the Spirit-filled life?" Again, man, the emphasis is on man. And the other one was, "Have you heard of the four spiritual laws?" Law number one was, God loves you and offers a wonderful plan for your life. That's not the emphasis we read in the Word of God about man being a sinner. You know the verse that struck my heart the night I got saved was Romans 3:19. What things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Does that sound like God has a wonderful plan for your life? It's got to be God-centered, not man-centered. God being glorified, not man being lifted up. Goes on the next page of that four spiritual laws and says, ask the question, why is it that most people are not experiencing the abundant life? Does that sound like God is getting the preeminence? That's where it started, back in the 60s, I remember. And it's ended up with all this feel-good religion, with the emphasis clearly on man. But genuine preaching is an opportunity for us to tell all about the God of the Bible and to magnify Him and to glorify Him and to tell all what He's done for us and what He can do for you. And that's all through the Bible. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's see the emphasis here with the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2, look at verse 1 first of all. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And then verses 4 and 5. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Can we see the right emphasis in those verses, where it should be, where God wants us to place it? And Paul was not interested in preaching to man's intellect. Genuine preaching is preaching to the heart, and it glorifies God. And that's part of the case for genuine preaching, to glorify God, because it's all about Him and not all about us. Number two, go back to Psalm 40. Look at verses 8 through 10, and I'll try to emphasize some wording here as I read this. David said, I delight to do thy will, O God, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. So he has it inside, his law, God's law. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. I have not refrained my lips. In other words, it's within my heart, but I didn't keep it there. It came out. I haven't refrained my lips, O Lord. Thou knowest. Now notice, I have not hid. It didn't stay there. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. So what is he saying there? Even though God's word was within his heart, it burst forth, it shone forth openly, it was declared publicly, it was rendered apparent, it was manifested. So the case for preaching is not only to glorify God, it's how God manifests His word. It's how God manifests His word. And to the extent that preaching is being devalued, the word of God is less and less manifested. At a time when the world needs it to be more manifested. This world really needs the Word of God to be declared, to be proclaimed, to be published, to shine forth that of what is within, where it needs to be taken first, and then burst forth because the world is in such a need of it. But notice where the world places that emphasis. Look at Revelation 18. Have you ever noticed this about this list in Revelation 18 where it's talking about Babylon the Great falling? Notice here in verses 10 through 13 in Revelation 18. Standing afar off for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore." You know, merchandise has value to it. You put a price to it. Merchants know all about this. So they're going to go down this list. What do they call that? Something laden? What do they call that thing? Laden. L-A-D-E-N. I forget. Just heard it relatively recently. Look, the top of the list, gold, right? The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of the most precious wood and of brass and of iron and of marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves. Notice where the souls of men is, the bottom of the heap. Bottom of the list. And that is the truth. That's why pastors alluded to it many times. And it's the truth. This place ought to be filled up on Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon. Filled up. But because the souls of men is down at the bottom of the list as far as value goes, then we struggle to get folks to come, to get be saved, especially in the day, dark day and age in which we live. But listen, but since the souls of men are not at the bottom of the list as far as God is concerned, they're at the top of the list as far as God is concerned. So preaching stands as the method through which God works. Because he's more interested in souls than he is any other thing on that list. Because nothing else on that list needs to be redeemed. Nothing else on that list has the need that the souls of men have. And we can see how that is the case. Look at Titus chapter 1, which I could have used as a text verse, but Titus 1, the first three verses. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. That's the method that God is going to use to reach the souls of men, because he's more interested in the souls of men than any of the other things on that list. Look at 1 Thessalonians, see if we don't see it come through in this passage. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul speaking here to the church at Thessalonica. He said, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us," they preached to the church, "ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." That's God's method. To reach souls and then build up souls. So preaching better always be the main event here. Because God manifests his word through preaching. So, if there's any visitor here tonight, and you're praying about attending or joining a church, and we may not have as many here on a Wednesday night that we would have like on a Sunday morning. So I'm going to extend this to every person that listens to the sermon audio, and you're praying about attending or visiting a church. You better make sure that preaching's the first thing you look for. The kind of preaching that's going on down there. Over and above anything else. I mean, you can sacrifice the best facilities for the best preaching. You really can. You can sacrifice the best choir. And we have a good choir. But you can sacrifice the best choir for the best preaching. You can sacrifice the best youth program for the best preaching. And I can hear somebody say, well, Brother Pelican, that's easy for you to say. Your kids are all grown up and out of the house. But they were young once. And when they were young, guess what? The youth program was important to me. Why wouldn't it be? You ought to care about who's teaching your children, what kind of program they have. But it never took the place of what kind of preaching was going on down there. That was always number one, preaching. Every time, hands down, always. Why? Because God manifests His word through preaching. And it's not because of who's doing the preaching, it's what's being preached, the word of God. That's what carries the force of divine authority. More than anything else, that's what will build up our children. That's what will build up our young people. And that's what will build us up, is the preaching of the Word of God. And if it's not doing that, then something's wrong. But on the other hand, the modern preaching, this modernistic stuff, this watered-down stuff, evokes little more than a yawn. You know why? Because God's not in it. God's not in that. They're just playing church. That's all they're doing. But the church to be biblical, the main thing, it boils down to genuine preaching. So no matter how much the world devalues preaching, it must remain the core of a pastor's ministry and the predominating activity in a New Testament church. Because God manifests His word through preaching. And then number three, first of all, genuine preaching glorifies God. Genuine preaching is how God manifests His word. And then this one's a little different. And I guess it's based more on the 2 Timothy passage, but I got another passage. Genuine preaching is what separates genuine Baptists from all the others. I want us to think about that tonight, just a little bit. I mean, what are they known for? All right? The Methodists. They're known for John Wesley. I don't know anything else about the Methodists. That's all I know. The Presbyterians, John Knox. What are they known for? The Lutherans, Martin Luther. The Catholics, what are they known for? The Pope, the Mass, church tradition, and Notre Dame University. Most people don't know anything else about what's going on down there. The Episcopalians, what are they known for? Being a lot like the Catholics. About all I know about them. The Church of England, Westminster Abbey, and Henry VIII. Jehovah's Witnesses, Watchtower and Tract Society. The Mormons, Joseph Smith, Brigham Young University, and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. But what are the Baptists known for? Oh, I got a verse. You ready for this? Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And I want this to be indelibly placed into your brain. So I'm going to read it a little bit, not different, but I'm going to read it. And then Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now I want you to look at verse number one. You see that word Baptist? You see what's next? Preaching. You see that word preaching? See the one before that? Baptist. Baptist, preaching, Baptist, That's what the Baptists are known for. Preaching. I mean, who else packs a suitcase, pays money to get on a plane or gets in a car and spends a lot of gas, rents a motel room, all at their own expense, to go and hear preaching? Who else does that but the Baptists? What other group but the Baptists has so many tapes of preaching? Used to be tapes, now they're CDs and MP3s and sermon audio. But what group but the Baptists has so many of them worth listening to? Preaching. Preaching. Preaching is what separates Baptists from all the others. Why did Bill Clinton, when he was president of the United States, conduct his private life the way he did and then carry a Bible to church on Sunday? Because he didn't get any preaching when he got there. That's why he could live that way. Preaching is what separates Baptists from all the others. When I first got saved, I started collecting tapes. What group did you like? What music did... No, I collected tapes of preaching. At first, they were reel-to-reel. Then they went to cassette. And that's as far as I got. I've got the CDs, too, now. But I had over 100 reel-to-reel tapes. And you know what we did? We used to invite folks over for popcorn and preaching tapes. Sit around and listen to preaching. Why? Because preaching is what separates the Baptists from all the others. When we went home on vacation, we played preaching tapes for our parents. They didn't like it all that much, but that's what we did. What attracts a lot of people to the Baptists? They're preaching. What drives a lot of people away from the Baptists? They're preaching. I don't know why they got to shout like that. Well, I don't think it's so much that they shout. It's what we're shouting that bothers them. And the Baptist preached, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Preaching is what separates Baptists from all the others. And by the way, the Bible says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. I'm trying to figure out when Baptists were ever in season. Unless in season means like deer season, which means open season on the Baptist, that I can see. I don't think we've ever been in season. We've always been not politically correct. The Bible's not politically correct. We're supposed to just preach it no matter what the times are. It's because it's what the world needs a lot of. And what God manifests his word with, preaching. Look at all those people that are in the groups that I just mentioned. What's the one thing all of them lack? Preaching, right? They go to church. Do they get much? Some may get a little. Not very much. Preaching. And I wonder if there's a connection between all these watered down versions of the Bible that they use and all the watered down preaching they get. I think there's a connection. And to close, I'll just say this. Preaching is why I'll stay a Baptist. Amen? I mean, think about it. This is great. The thing that the world needs most is the thing I like doing best. There was a preacher, and I'll finish with this. There was a preacher almost 40 years ago attended Dallas Theological Seminary. He was kind of recounting it. He said, like all first-year students, I was required to take a course called Bible Study Methods. In the very first class, the professor made a remark that changed my life. He said, men, now the context here, the point, it's under preaching is a noble calling. So the context is preaching, even though he used the word teaching. But listen to this. He said, men, if you can learn to teach or preach the Bible and do it well, you can cut a wide swath in any direction. I like that. You can go anywhere you want because there's always a need for Bible preaching. And then he added this thought. If you can learn to teach the Bible and do it well, you can take care of your family, for the rest of your life. And that meant a lot to him because he had just been married less than a week when he attended that first class. And after 30, almost 40 years, he looks back on that and says, you know what? That professor was right in everything he said. Preaching. There's a case to be made for preaching tonight, because preaching is what glorifies God. Preaching is how God manifests his word. And preaching is what separates the Baptists from all the others. Let's stand quietly with our head bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around.